No, we're Scanagaguego. I'm thankful you're well. You're listening to Gyno. Gyno is, of course, a Seneca word for music or song. I'm your host, Brett Mabee, and each week we take a listen to some amazing music from different indigenous artists from all across Turtle Island. So as always, you are kindly invited to enjoy the music and the chat. My featured artist today is Mike Byrne of the Wolastoq Nation, coming by way of Ngokuk. He had considerable success with his bands Kickin' Crotch and District Avenue. The latter even had a song that was featured at the 2018 Winter Olympics. Now, since then, Mike's gone solo. We're going to be discussing his album Wampanoag and his most recent singles, Ancestors, and this one, it's Shrine of Shirl. You're listening to Gyno.
Sun is shining through the clouds. Many days I felt alone, alone. I lift my head too quick to see stars chasing after me. Oh, where is my home? I see you in the trees.
From Mike Byrne, his latest single kicking off our listening on today's edition of Gyno. Welcome back. I'm your host, Brett Mabee, and I'm excited for today's conversation. Mike's been at this a long time. He's played with various bands over the years, like you heard in the introduction, including Kickin' Crotch and District Avenue. Both bands are award-winning, and we're going to get into all of this great discussion here before too long, but at this time, I certainly want to welcome Mike onto Gyno today. And Nyawai Skanot, how are you doing?
Hey, Kwe. Thanks for having me, Brett, on your wonderful station here, man.
I'm grateful that you could take a few minutes to chat with me today, introduce you to my listeners down here, and get some new fans along the way. It's a win-win for us all, yeah?
It sure is.
Mike, you know, we have a lot to talk about today. I love singer-songwriters that have stories attached to their music, things that you can dive into, and that quickly became apparent, especially with a track that we're going to be hearing in just a little bit, another one of your latest singles called Ancestors. But for the sake of the new listeners out there, I was wondering if we could rewind and start with some introductions. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Mike Byrne from Wolastoq Nation here in New Brunswick, Canada. Wolastoq people are people of the beautiful river. And I'm from Nagukuk, what that means, where the two rivers meet. So I have a lot of positive energy that comes from my territory.
I've talked with a few artists from up your way, and it really does sound like a nicer pace of life. Is that a good summary? Do you find that to be the case?
I like to say how the river flows, you know? It's nice and smooth sometimes, and you get a little choppy sometimes, you know?
Sure.
We just take it how the river flows, brother.
I can dig it. And, of course, you're surrounded by a lush, beautiful old-growth forest up there as well, yeah?
Yes, beautiful, beautiful land, man.
So this is your home. You're connected to the land. I mean, we're going to get this thread woven throughout our conversation today because, again, your lyrical content really does touch on that connection as well. But as we talk about your musical background, what was it that got you into music?
Well, I think I... give a lot of that to my parents, you know, growing up and, you know, them having friends over for a few drinks and them putting on a little Bob Seger or CCR or my mom's outlaw country, like Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn, Patsy Cline. You know, I really didn't care for the music at a young age, but now when you get a little older, you start appreciating that old music, and I've grown into loving that, you know, like 70s rock and the outlaw country, and I think a lot of that, my musical inspiration and loving music came a lot from my parents.
You mentioned liking this older style of music as you get on in years and things like that, and if listeners down here are familiar with your previous work. I mean, that's obviously apparent, like Kick and Crotch and, mm-hmm. and District Avenue. That's nothing like what we're typically going to hear.
You know? Oh, hell no, man. It's like night and day,
sure.
Brother. It's like night and day for sure.
You got into the rock and roll. Take me a little bit through that time in your life because those bands did really, really well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always wanted to do music. I always wanted to, you know, join a band or start something like that. I've been playing acoustic guitar since I was like 15 years old. And I've always talked about starting a band. I know it was a little more late in my life and stuff, but I actually did that. You know, we were in a computer course there in a little town up north from us. And that was, I just looked around like, Jesus, there's a band in this room right now. There's a drummer. Look, there's a guitar player. There's a bass player. And I play guitar and I sing. I'm like just messing around like we should start a band, you know. And we're just joking around. And we started talking about it. And we were thinking about names, trying to be funny. And Kick and Crotch came out of my mouth. I don't know how the hell it came. But it was just to be as a joke.
Yeah.
And it got so serious so quick, and they asked us to play their Christmas party at the local community college here. That's where it all started, man.
Wow. You never know what sticks, and it's got to be fun to look back on just what a chance encounter that was, yeah.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah, like I'm glad that it happened, you know.
Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason, and I'm glad that experience, came in my life.
Absolutely. And Kick and Crotch, if I'm not mistaken, if I heard you correctly, basically ends up transforming into District Avenue. I mean, more or less the same core members and everything too, yeah?
Yes. And I think it was a little more progressive rock, a little more metal
sure.
than Kick and Crotch. And, there was more of the screamo and all that kind of stuff. And yeah. It was more of my drummer that was with us at the time, his idea, and he's the one who did all the music, man. The guy is so damn talented. He did the drums, he did the guitars, he did the bass, he did
wow.
everything minus, you know, the singing. That's all I had to do was put my singing in there.
So cool.
And he did everything. And we actually met up with a great guy from Toronto. He owns Iguana Studio, and they had tons of talent that came through there. And we actually went up there for a week and recorded that whole album.
Which went on to win awards. And another point of bragging rights, I guess, that something that I don't get to hear too often. Your song Revival from District Avenue was featured on an international stage too, yeah?
Yes, man. It was, I think I was like making dinner here, and then we had it on the Winter Olympics.
Wow.
And then I just did it, and I could hear the guitar. I'm like, that sounds familiar. And I just seen like skiers doing jumps, and it was like a little montage and stuff. And with, you know, the highlights would happen the day before. And that's a revival play.
Wow.
I didn't know idea about it.
Wow.
Until like a week after, where they would send me papers from this production company. I'm not too, can't remember where,
sure.
But you know, for what they did and stuff, and send me the royalties and whatnot. Yeah, that was a big surprise, and I was greatly honored for that, for sure.
That's pretty wild, to say the least. I mean, and just to be watching it and hearing it at the same time too is another one of those chance encounters. Yeah,
right.
Mike, yeah. We have a lot more to talk about today. I want to move on from the bands and talk about why you decided to go solo. And we can start talking about like Wampanoag and of course, yep. Ancestors, your other recent single. So at this time, let's get back into the music. Now, of course, longtime listeners of Gyno are well aware that it's become a regular feature here for my guest to recommend a song or two from Indigenous artists that they're currently listening to. And Mike was gracious enough to play along today, and we're going to be hearing two of his recommendations before our time is up, including one from Lewis C. Wyatt. But the one that's going to be winding down this first block is from Mike's friends, the band Marion, and their song Astral Plane. We'll be back to talk about them and get caught back up in just a few. So as we get into our listening again, turn it up and sing along with Riverbend from Mike Burns' Wampanoag today on Gyno.
I saw the world in black and white. I couldn't find what was right. I walked over the sun, the shadow, to hear the rain. I fell back into the water, drowning in memories. Save me, I said, save me, I'm losing control. Save me, I said, save me, I feel so alone. I've been through with my head beat to the floor. No one told me it was gonna be okay. I just went on my own. Save me, I said, save me, I'm losing control. Save me, I said, save me, I feel
And you are rocking out to Gyno with Brett Mabee.
Thank you.
Marion, from their album Hit Record, that's Astral Plane, coming by way of recommendation from today's featured artist, Mike Byrne. Welcome back. You're listening to Gyno. I'm your host, Brett Mabee. And it was great getting caught up with Mike, some of his musical background. I absolutely just love hearing about the far north, and it makes me want to go check it out even more, Mike. And when we got back into the music, we left off on District Avenue and being featured in the 2018 Winter Olympics. And as I was mentioning, though, at this point, I want to talk a little bit about your departure from the band scene. What made you decide that it was time to go and do your own thing?
Well, you know, when guys want to show up for practice and don't want to show up for gigs. And I was running the band too, you know, and I was the manager and trying to keep everything together, you know, finding new band members. After a while, you just get tired of doing that. And I'm like, you know, I can go do my own thing. I can, you know, singer songwriter with acoustic guitar and make my own music, and, you know, instead of dealing with these headaches all the time. And that's what I decided. I said, enough's enough, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do my own thing. And, you know, you don't have to wait for nobody to show up for gigs or all that stuff that comes with a band, you know. And I'm glad that I did it. I really am. I'm happy what I'm doing. And I hope to do it for a very, very long time.
Well, you have a very distinct sound. It's familiar yet new. You can tell that you're pulling from some of these influences that you were mentioning. You didn't really dig some of the older sounds when you were a kid, but I'm guessing this is where a lot of that love starts to reemerge, huh?
Yo, for sure, man. Yeah. I mean, like, you have so much music in your head, you know, and so much sound, and you want to be able to bring that out. And it's like a puzzle when you do music, right? You're trying to put all these pieces together. Some songs are more difficult than others to put together, you know?
Sure.
Like Shrine of Cheryl was like the ones that just come out so easy. You know, I can write that in like half an hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of these other ones, you know, they take a little longer. It's just like puzzles. You take it from bits and pieces from here and there, and it just put it all together.
Are you a conceptual writer too? Do you write it intentionally to all fit kind of a story?
No. I go with the melody. It's usually actually my music first. Then I go for a walk in the woods or something. I clear my mind, and you know, sometimes I pray to bring me images, you know, positive image. Bring me stuff that I can see clearly, you know, like the ideas and stuff like that. And a lot of that comes from that, my music. It's like Shrine of Cheryl, and we'll talk about that later, but, you know, it was dedication to my uncle. You know, I just wanted to show him how much that I loved him and that how much I appreciate him while he was with us on this earth. And, but yeah, my music comes from just about anything really, life experiences or taking a walk in the woods.
You mentioned your uncle. I did see that write up and online as well, talking behind the song Shrine of Cheryl. And is this the same passing that influenced the creation of the song Ancestors as well?
Yes. Well, actually, that's when I was grieving my uncle, his death, and a couple of family members suggested I go see an angel reader. Not too sure if you're familiar with them, but I guess they can talk with your departed and stuff and send you messages and stuff. And that's that's how I got that message from my grandfather, and that would have been my uncle's father, to honor the people that have passed. You know, it's good for healing. And that's where ancestors came from me speaking with my late grandfather. Actually, I never even met my grandfather. He passed away in a potato house and snapped his neck and died instantly. And I think my mom was only 13 years old. So I never got to meet him. But then he came through, and here I was wanting a message from something, you know, because sometimes you get writer's block and you don't want to write about anymore. And that came through, and that stuck with me for a long time. And I'm like, I got to write about what he said, you know, honor the people that have passed, you know, bring healing to others. And that just stuck with me. And I like wrote maybe a few lyrics of it there somewhere. And I opened that up there a few months ago, and I started writing, and Ancestors was born.
It feels to me that's more akin to the older relationship with music that many Indigenous cultures have had throughout time. Do you find that as well? The honoring of
ancestors? Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like you're getting the message from our ancestors, you know. You have to honor that message and do what they say, you know. We make them proud. Mm. You know, even though they're not here with us, they're here with us in spirit. You have to honor their spirit as well.
I was in a teepee ceremony a number of years back and had a similar experience where I felt I was meeting a family member that had passed away before I was born, and have only known through family recordings of her singing, and you know the profound nature of being able to kind of stretch across time, I felt made me closer to her than I obviously physically was ever able to be. And in the ceremony, I just got this strong impression that she was saying to me, you know, we're grateful to be thought of still. We can't tell you how much it means to us that you remember us.
Don't forget us. We're always with you.
That's a great message for today's show. And, you know, I got to be perfectly honest, that gave me goosebumps right there, you know. And I think it further validates some of those experiences that we share over Turtle Island without having known anything about one another before, you know.
Wow. Got a little emotional there, man.
I am appreciative of this conversation, Mike. And let's get back into the listening right now. We have a little bit more time to talk. And I don't think there's any more that I can add to what we were just saying. So at this time, you're invited to turn it up and sing along with Mike Burns' Ancestors, a single released back in March of 2022. You're listening to Gyno.
Yeah.